So happy to know that name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You few musicians. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. We're so spoiled here. We're used to having first, second, third, and fourth string positions. So thankful for all the Lord's done for us, is doing for us, has given us, blessed us with. Amen. We truly are blessed. We have no complaints. When I meet him on the other side, I have no complaints here. When I meet him over there, I certainly won't have any complaints. Hallelujah. In fact, he will owe no man. There'll not be one of us that will say, well, look at all I did, and you only. No, not at all. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Well, tonight we're going to just speak for a few minutes on the subject of the Lord's Supper and foot washing. We like to do that every now and then, because we have new generations raising up, and it's just a good reminder for the rest of us to reminder of what the Lord's Supper is about, and what it is, what it isn't, and why we do it. And so if you just bear with us here tonight, we want to refer to some things that we've spoken on before, but like I said, it's needful to, you know, to do it again and again. So we'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read verses 17 to 34. Paul says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." He's speaking to the Corinthians. He's giving them instruction, but he's also having to paddle them a little bit, give them a little gospel protoplasmic stimulation, a little stimulation on the backside, because they... so obviously he'd taught on this before, and things were going south, and so he's addressing some things here. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you." Oh my. You certainly don't want that to ever happen, right? There certainly shouldn't be. You know, I don't, this is just your pastor speaking, so, and if you think this is harsh, you pray for me, but I don't understand how any Christian could have divisions and be okay with it.
Right.
You certainly know that isn't the Spirit of Christ. So we at least, if there is divisions, we ought to be honest enough to say that that's not Christ, it's us. We need to work it out so that Christ can have his way. Now, I'm not saying that for, I have nothing in my mind. Just take this as instruction, right? But we did have a few years where, unbeknownst to me, people had grudges, and they never worked them out. Some of them would cowardly go behind the scenes and say, well, you just can't talk to that person. You know, first of all, that's a lie.
Right.
Second of all, even if that's true, it's on you. If you know that you've got an issue that needs to be worked out, it's on you. And why would you partake of communion knowing that there's issues? Well, if you're a Christian, you won't. Paul says, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, he says. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So, wow, that's rough, huh? It's the truth, but Paul's saying you're not all Christians. Right? He's saying there has to be divisions so that those that are truly Christians will be manifested, and those that truly aren't will be manifested. Right? He says there must be heresies among you, so that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, and once again, this is just instruction, okay? When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One's hungry and the other is drunken. So what they had going on was, the Corinthian church was actually kind of wealthy. And in the earlier part of the book of Corinthians, Paul is explaining to the Corinthians in particular that he was in Macedonia and those churches were poor. I'm not taking from you. They supported me, right? And yet the Macedonians were they had a lot less than the Corinthians. But he's saying, look, I'm coming amongst you. I'm not taking anything from you, though I could and I have every right to. But by the way, I want you to know that these other churches in Asia, they're supporting me as I'm speaking to you. He says, so there were wealthy people that were there, and they were coming together, and they were having supper, right? It wasn't the Lord's Supper; it was their supper. It was Golden Corral, you know. And there were people amongst them that they couldn't afford to. They weren't doing that. They couldn't afford to, and so you can imagine the gap that caused. I mean, it caused division, right? Here's the rich people, and they're just living it up, and here's the poor people that can't afford to, they're so poor they can't even hardly afford to pay attention. Ha ha ha. So they're coming together, and of course that's going to cause division. Plus, those that are rich, they're missing the whole point. It isn't the Lord's Supper isn't the whole purpose of it. Isn't so that you can gorge yourself, so that you can have a feast. It's they didn't do it with Jesus at the Last Supper, and they weren't supposed to be doing it as the ceremony that. We were instructed in, that Paul instructed him in. He says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One's hungry and the other is drunken. So that there's one that's hungry because they can't afford it. And then there's others that are, they're not drinking these little cups, they're drinking bottles. Right? Missing the whole point. He says, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So you see here that there's a place for that kind of speech, right? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Now he didn't have a loaf for everybody. He didn't back up a truck. And he took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So it was just a small portion, and it was a token, and it was done in commemoration. It was done in remembrance of him. After the same manner, also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So you're bringing in remembrance that he gave himself for us, right? Until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, if we can do this once a month or however often that we do it and do it unworthily, then what are we doing every time we come together? Right? Because we should examine ourselves every time we come together. Right? We should be prayed up every time we come. We should be in expectation every time we come together. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So there are those that actually go home to be with the Lord because of a sin that's in the body that hasn't been discerned, hasn't been dealt with. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So we should just be so conscious of that. Every time we come together, all the time, we should be able to say, all is well. Amen. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. So this isn't every man for himself. This isn't, well, you know, I'm right with the Lord, and that's all that matters. If you know that there's issues in the body, well, then pray about it. And, right? And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So he had more to say about that. But he said, I'll wait until I'm there in person. I'm writing you this letter, but when I come, I've got some more to set in order. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together this evening, we thank you for the instruction, Lord, that we're so thankful that it's been recorded. These things were spoken. It was under inspiration. We believe it's your direction. It's your instruction. And it came through the mouth of your prophet, not just a prophet, but the apostle to the Gentiles. And it's the church order. It's the apostolic order of the church. So we're so thankful, Lord, that we can refer to this. We have this. We don't have to take it second, third, fourth hand, but it's been preserved for us, Lord, and it's quickened in every generation, Lord, so that we can be correct, so that we can be instructed in how what's pleasing to you and how you would have your church operate and what the order of it is. And so we ask for your blessings to be with each and every one of us tonight, Lord, and even as we go through these things, and we know that we're going to partake of what is known as the Lord's Supper here tonight. May you discern our hearts, Lord. May your words search our hearts. And Lord, if there's anything that's out of the way, may we make it right, and so that we can come boldly to the table. And we know there's healing in the cup. We know that, Lord, that when we come together in unity, that all things are possible. So, Lord, we're looking for your presence to permeate every crack and corner of the building, each and every heart, Lord, and may each and every one of us have this very same testimony tonight, all is well. Bless each and every one, we pray. Bless your word as it goes forth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I'd like to read also from John, the 13th chapter. We'll start at the first verse through the 17th verse. John said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and that he went to God, he riseth from supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. You know, Peter was just so quick to, he had foot and mouth disease. You know, he was so quick to You got to love him. You know, whatever came out of Peter's mouth was in his heart, right? He wasn't trying to be deceitful, but before he was converted, there was pretty interesting things that came out of his mouth, just as it was with many of us as well, right? He comes to Peter, and Peter says unto him, "You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus answered him and said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." That's a flattener, right? Notice how Jesus is speaking the truth. He's speaking the truth in love. Now, some people, you could never say these kind of things to them. Or anytime things like that come across the pulpit, you know, there are people that will leave the church and say, "You're mean," right? Well, you'd say that about Jesus, I suppose, right? Jesus said, "Look, if I don't wash you, you have no part." Well, wait a minute. I thought I was the main guy. You know, didn't you give me the keys? Moi? Right? Aren't I the guy that's going to, you know, whatever I unlock, it will be unlocked. Whatever's declared here on earth and is done in heaven and vice versa. And now you're telling, and I've been with you all this time. It's too late. You know, you're about to go to the cross and you're telling me I have no part in you. I'm glad that he's honest about it, right? He's not saying, "Look, I'm going to cut you some slack," right? You're different. You're special. You're one of my disciples. So I'm going to cut corners for you, right? I'm not going to wash your feet, but I'll do everybody else because I know this is embarrassing to you, right? No, he just cut right through it and said, "Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And Simon Peter said unto him, once again, just without even thinking, right? He says, "Don't just wash my feet, but my hand and my head." You know, this isn't bath time, Peter. Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." Of course, he's speaking of Judas that's amongst them. "For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he saith, ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, excuse me, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Amen. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And I just love the example that he left for us. I mean, he's the great I am in flesh. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And yet he did this service. Right? So if he's the greatest of all, then who are we to think that we're too good to, right? As we've been going through that series that we'll return back to, you know, we need to keep ourselves under ourselves. And things like this are that contribute to keep ourselves under ourselves, right? To not let this flesh get elevated, to not let this flesh not only just get elevated, but get pampered or get by with stuff, right? We need to put it in its place and keep it in its place. And if you ever think that you get to the place where, well, I've got my flesh under me, you can't relax. Because it's something that we will do it until our last breath, right? Because this flesh has to be held in position. It has to be ruled over. So I'd like to read a few things that Brother Branham had to say about the Lord's Supper. In the Message Jubilee Year, he says, now you notice Paul here, those Corinthians, he says, they didn't get it. They went up there and they even got drunk at the Lord's table. And they eat and they drink and they done everything wrong. And Paul said, when you come together, if a man's hungry, let him eat at home. But when you come together, tarry one for another. He says, in other words, wait on one another. You say, now, here's a brother that I don't think ought to take the communion. Well, don't run up there and jerk him out. Have patience with him. After the service is over, and come over to his house some night and sit down and say, brother, now forgive me if I'm wrong. So you always want to take the low road, right? You don't want somebody to lord over you, right? So why would you want to take that approach with somebody else, right? Brother, now forgive me if I'm wrong, but I seen you down the other day on the street drunk, whatever he was doing, or out with some other lady that wasn't your wife, and you're taking communion. I love you, brother. Let you and I pray over this thing and straighten it up. See, wait on one another. Do service for one another. Don't be bigger than somebody else. Try and see how little that you can be. I've often said, don't never be big in your own sight. If you're big, let it be in God's sight. Be little in your own sight. Every man that humbles himself, God will exalt. But those who exalt themselves, God will bring abase. See? Be little. Amen. Amen. Again, in excuse me, possessing all things, he says, is your sins under the blood? By faith tonight in Christ Jesus, we shall now take the communion. Now, he would call it communion, and then he would correct himself and call it the Lord's Supper because, people would, in fact, we've done that time and time again ourselves, but it isn't communion. Communion is something that we do all the time. We're communing with the Lord, we're fellowshipping with the Lord every time we come together, right? It's the Lord's Supper. Right, so he says, "We shall now take the communion." He says, "Not the communion. You commune as you eat with one another. Just commune with God. The communion is not the bread, not the wine. The communion is talking back and forth with God, and this is a symbol that we take. So the Lord's Supper is a symbol that we believe in His death, broken body, His burial, and resurrection." We believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might say, well, you know, that's such a fine point. Why make a big deal out of it? Because people literally believe they're having communion by taking these symbols, right? But that isn't the communion. We believe that He has given us eternal life, and we cannot die. We pass from death unto life. And someday when we separate from one another here, we shall rise again in the resurrection with each other, joined together with Christ Jesus as a body. Amen. And upon this basis, in the confession of my sins and my faith in the Son of God, I take myself and the church before these articles that God left for us to do to show forth His death until He comes. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat. Do this in remembrance of me." Our Heavenly Father, after we have confessed our sins, hearing your word, after we have confessed that we are unworthy and we are trusting only in the merits of the Son of God, we're unworthy creatures. Forgive us, Lord, of all that we have did. And now by faith, we come to the table of the Lord. And now as this bread is presented to represent the body of our Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll sanctify it to its intended purpose, and may every person that partakes of this have eternal life in their soul. And may that every person takes it have healing in their body and live the appointed time that you've given them. You know, if there's sin in the body and people are taking it unworthily, they won't necessarily live the appointed time that they've been given. Now, I can't explain that to you how that works, but I believe it. It's what he said. It's what Paul said. He says, and may they serve you all the days of their life and be raised up in the last day in the resurrection to be gathered together with the tribes of the earth that are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Grant it, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Bible said he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament. As often as you drink this, you show forth the Lord's death until he come." Heavenly Father, we hold to you the fruit of the vine tonight, this wine, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll sanctify this wine. It represents, it isn't, but it represents the blood that was shed for us at Calvary. Through this blood, we have remission of our sins. By faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, forgive us of all our unbelief, Lord, and give us faith and understanding. Make us your servants, Lord, that we can serve you all our days. Be with us, Father, as we join together around this table, and bless us in this time, in this fine fellowship and communion with you. And may you speak to our hearts and point to us our work that we should do. Grant it, Lord. Sanctify this wine for its intended purpose. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. So there's an example of how it was done in our day. And I believe that that's a reflection of how it was done in Paul's day. And I believe that's, in keeping with the approach that Jesus wanted us to have. And, As we mentioned before, all of us have come from different places, and it never ceases to amaze me that people will come to a new church and they'll say, "God led me here," and they'll say, "This is the best thing, and where have you been all my life?" And they'll cry and they'll weep, and then they'll come to a communion service and then they'll say, "Well, you're doing it wrong, and I need to straighten you out about it," right? And when they say you're doing it wrong, what they're saying is you're not doing it in the way that we did it at the last church that I came from. Right? Well, how do you know the church you came from wasn't doing it wrong? Right? This isn't tradition. Right? We want to do it according to the word, and our desire is to be right in whatever we're doing. Now, of course, if we're not doing it right, we want to know that. But make sure that if you're going to run, this is also what happens, which is really sad, is the pastor isn't told that. Everybody else in the church is told that, right? And then when the people decide to leave, that's, one of the excuses for why they're leaving is because communion wasn't done right. Well, you didn't do right, because if it wasn't being done right, you never said anything and you continued to partake of it. So who's the guilty one, right? In the message ordination, he says, we believe that when we come together, he said, tarry one for another. In other words, wait on one another. The word tarry means to wait on one another. Now, as has been accustomed to us, we take that scripture in this way, that when we do this, that we just bow our heads, and the congregation prays for we pastors. So the congregation is praying for the ministry. We pastors pray for our congregation. So everybody's praying, right? And that's how we wait on one another, by serving each other by praying, right? He says, you pray, God, forgive my pastor. What a concept. God, forgive my pastor. If there's ever anything in this life that they have done, you forgive them for it. Forgive them. They didn't mean to do it. And we come right back to pastors praying for our congregation. God, this little flock that you've given us to watch over, if there's anything wrong in their life, take it away, Father. So that we can all stand together around and fellowship around, knowing that we're coming here, keeping the order of God and taking the communion. I think it's a sweet time of fellowship. Let us pray now as we bow our heads silently. You pray for us and we'll pray for you. And Brother Brown softly whispers a prayer for 40 seconds as the congregation silently prays. So this is what Paul said to do. Brother Brown's demonstrating how they did it at his church. And, I believe that that's the way that we've tried to carry it out over the years. And I just want everybody but it's important that we recognize what's taking place, right? When we say bow our heads and pray, and we're praying, you should be praying, and we should all be praying, right? And we should all be praying for the same thing. He says, Father, as we take this communion, as we call it communion, it is in remembrance of you. And when this little beaten wafer touches our tongues and goes into our mouth, may we recognize that he was bruised and mashed and torn for our sins. And that veil that hid him from us, now he's in us, the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the wine, may we realize that it was by his stripes that we were healed. By his blood, we are saved. The life that was in the blood. Now, Father, gather us together for this solemn occasion, forgiving our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. So it's not complicated. It's not some long, drawn-out ceremony. And it's not something that's so high that nobody can comprehend it. And, you know, and it's not in Latin. Aren't you glad? How many of you have ever been to a Catholic wedding? You know, there's just no, you go to a Catholic wedding or a Catholic funeral, and they try to get you to have communion, right? And they try and shame you. And Sister Baker and I, and Brother Joel, and Sister Susan, because of working at Raytheon, there were people that worked for us, they got married, that got buried, whatever. I remember David Omer's funeral for one of his kids. Omar Erkades was getting married, I think, and we were just about the only ones. We weren't the only ones, but we were just about the only ones that, you know, they invite you to have, quote-unquote, communion with them, you know, at a wedding, at a funeral, right? And they lay it on, you know, they try and shame you into doing it, right? They try to make you look like an oddball, like you're not a believer. Right? You're not even a Christian if you aren't going to, well, come on, aren't we? We're all the same. Let's do this, you know. But no, we're not having communion together because we don't have the same spirit, right? And you believe, they believe that when the, you know, the priest prays over those symbols that they literally become the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The miracle of transubstantiation is what they call it. But that's hogwash. And I know that there was a lot of people that I've seen over the years that actually went through the line and kind of went through the steps, and their heart wasn't in it, but they were doing it because they didn't want to look bad. Well, that's not the reason to do it. And we shouldn't be shamed into doing it, but we should do it. Father, as we take communion... in the message, communion, which was just about the, so it was 12-12-65 here in Tucson. So right at the end of Brother Branham's journey, you know, before he started heading towards Texas. He says, then when we come to the Lord's table, we must come in reverence, love, and respect of look where we would have been if it hadn't been for him. So we ought to be thankful, right? See, look where we would have been. Therefore, Paul, I think, in saying this, wherefore, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, that is, in other words, just wait a few minutes, pray, check yourself out. And if you know a brother is in there just about to do something that's wrong or something, and you pray for him too, see, tarry one the other. Wait just a minute. Pray. And if there's any feelings between you or something, well, don't go. Go make that right first. See, go straighten that up first. Because they want to come here just as pure as we can be. And our thoughts of one another and to God and to each other. And then... we come in fellowship around the table of the Lord, see? And we do this because we are giving thanks to him and among one another, eating the bread between each other, drinking the wine between each other as his blood and his flesh in symbol form. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, see? You see, that's what the Bible said. Except you do it, there's no life, you see? you are then more or less showing that you're ashamed to identify yourself as a Christian because of the life that you live. And then this is really the showdown. Then if you don't do it, you have no life. And if you do it unworthily, you're guilty of the body of the Lord. Now, I'll just go ahead and say it here tonight as your pastor. Why isn't everybody here tonight? There was, everybody that was here this morning should have been here tonight. Right. Oh, well, I didn't know it was communion. We have it on the first Sunday night of every month, right? I have this or I have that. This is a direct order. Right? This is not something that we should take lightly. Right? What I've gotten over the years is, I don't feel like I'm worthy to do it. Well, really? And you're just going to let time go on? And when are you going to make that right? Now that's love that says that. Because you're not going anywhere. I mean, if we can't even do this, then we might as well pack it in, right? We might as well go home and do something else. To me, this isn't a burden, right? We should be prayed up all the time. We should be ready for the coming of the Lord all the time. He says, where did I stop? You're showing that you're ashamed to identify yourself as a Christian because of the life that you live. And then this is really the showdown, he says. If you don't do it, you have no life. If you do it unworthily, you're guilty of the body of the Lord. So both instances ought to shake you up. Right? If you don't do it, you have no life. Well, you better get the life. If you do it unworthily, you're guilty of the body of the Lord. So don't do it unworthily, right? And it's just a simple thing as being prayed up and making sure everything's right. He says the same thing in water baptism. If we say we believe on Jesus Christ and he saved us from our sin and we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, why, we bring disgrace to him. We do the things that's wrong and we'll have to pay for that. And another thing, when we do that, we are trying to profess one thing and do another. So he's saying if we get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're confessing that we're Christians. Well, then let's act like it. He says that's the trouble of us today. I'm saying us, me, and the church that the Lord God has let me speak to in these last hours, that we believe that we're in the closing time. We believe that God has given us a message. It's been ordained of God. It's been proven of God. It's been shown of God. Now we must come to him with reverence and with love, with purity of heart and mind and soul. You know, the hour will soon arise when right among us the Holy Spirit will speak out like it did in Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, see, that hour is arriving. Now, you just remember that, see, that God is going to dwell among his people. And that's what he wants to do now, he says. He says, we can't receive the message as saying, well, if I was a young man and hunting for a wife, and I could find a wife, I said, she's just perfect, she's a Christian, she's a lady, she's all this, I got confidence. He says, no matter how much confidence, how much I think she's nice, I've got to receive her. She's got to receive me, see, upon these vows. Well, it's the same thing we find is the message. We see that it's right. We see God vindicates that it's right. It's perfectly right. Year after year, year after year, it continues right. It continues right. Everything it says happens just exactly the way he said. Now, we know it's right, but see, don't do it from an intellectual standpoint. If you do, you got a second-handed religion. We don't want a second-handed religion, something that somebody else has experienced and we're living off of their testimony. We all have to have our own testimony. Right? Amen. So let's stand. Hallelujah. Do you love him? He's so good to us. Amen. Sure do appreciate his love and mercy and grace. He's the God of second chances. We have nothing to complain about. There's nothing that's too hard. And this is the best way to live. Amen. There is no better way. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So let's do it the way he was describing it, right? I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to pray for you, right? Brother Eli is going to pray for you. You bow your head and you pray for us. Amen. Amen. And then we will continue on and pray over the what we're going to partake of here this evening. Amen. He's so good to us.
Amen.
Amen. We love him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Now let's pray over the what we're about to partake of. Father, we thank you for the bread that is that's been baked, Lord, the unleavened bread. And we pray that you bless the hands that prepared it, Lord. Bless it to the strengthening of our bodies, Lord. We partake of it tonight knowing that it's symbolic of your body that was given for us, Lord. And we partake of it in remembrance of you and honoring that your death until you come, Lord, recognizing that that you were given as a sacrifice for us. And Lord, that we, spiritually speaking, we are partaking of you. You are the manna that descended from heaven, and you are the bread of life, and you are the very source of our life. And as we feed upon your word, Lord, it brings strength, it brings power, it brings overcoming, it brings your presence, it brings victory. And so Lord, as we partake of this symbol tonight, we know that it's representing, Lord, what we're partaking of every time we come together. And so Lord, we ask that you would bless it to the goodness of our bodies, Lord, as we do it in remembrance of you and in obedience to your word. And then also, Lord, the wine, the fruit of the vine, as it were, as we partake of that, Lord, we know that probably many of us were raised in churches where they didn't have an understanding of what was truly taking place, and maybe they had a standard against alcohol, drinking alcohol of any in any way, shape, or form, and so they used grape juice instead of the wine. And we know that you didn't use grape juice. We know that it was literally wine. And we also know that we're not doing this to get drunk, as Paul instructed, but we're doing it as a symbol. We're doing it in remembrance of you. But we're partaking of wine because the wine, the alcohol, the spirit that's, so to speak, that's in it, that's causing it to bubble up. It's symbolic of the life, your life that was in your blood, that was your blood that was shed for us. It's not, if we were somehow to, if somehow your blood was preserved and we could partake of it tonight, it would do nothing for us, because the life isn't the chemical, but the life was in the chemical. The life was in the blood. And then the very life that was in that blood was released, and it came back into the hearts of the believers on the day of Pentecost. And so, Lord, as we partake of this symbol, this bubbly fruit of the vine, this fermented fruit of the vine, it's symbolic of us partaking of your life coming into us. And so we do that in remembrance of you, Lord. Once again, we know that spiritually We do partake of your life and we receive your life, but we're commanded to do this ordinance until you come, and to do it often. So, Lord, we certainly are endeavoring to do that. And, Lord, we don't, as no doubt we all prayed, Lord, we don't want to come unworthily, and we also don't want to avoid coming to your table, because it's if we don't come to your table, as your messenger taught us, we have no life. Lord, we certainly don't want to miss out on that life. If we miss out on that life, we've missed everything. We know that partaking of the symbols doesn't give us life, but if we refuse to partake of it, it's evidence that we have no life, because if we have that life, we will be obedient to your word. We love you. We'll keep your word. We'll keep your commandments. It's our desire to do that. So, Lord, may your blessings be upon each and every one. Father, we know that there's healing in the cup, and, Lord, there's needs in the body, and may each one, Lord, as they come up, may they keep those things before them, Lord, and with expectation that, Lord, that needs are going to be met. And Father, may the fellowship be sweet. May the communion be sweet. And then, Lord, as we then go to wash one another's feet, we may that spirit of communion just continue to be right amongst us as we wait on one another, as we minister to one another in obedience to your word. And Lord, it sure is an honor to be able to do these things. And Lord, I pray that these things don't become common to us. We try to do it often enough so that in obedience to your word, you said do this often in remembrance of you, but not so often that it becomes a routine, because we know that we can do the right thing the wrong way and it can become a stench in your nostrils. And that's certainly not what we don't want to just go through the motions, and we certainly don't want a second-handed testimony, Lord, but we want it to be from our hearts. We want it to be fresh each time, Lord, and we want to be sincere every time, and I believe and trust that that's what we're doing. So, Lord, may your blessings be upon each and every one, we pray. We love you and thank you, and, Lord, be with those that are not able to be with us, Lord, that would have been here otherwise. We ask that you would be with them as well. And, Lord, we trust that we'll have other opportunities. If you would tarry, we'd have other opportunities to come together in obedience to your word. And then, Lord, forgive me. It was on my mind. It was on my heart earlier, and I forgot. But, Lord, we know that Ben DeRossett Jr. was in a car accident, we understand, and broken ribs and different things that took place in this horrific accident that he was involved in. And we pray for his healing, Lord, and pray that you would raise him up and for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, for any of the needs, whether they're spoken or unspoken, Lord, we bring all the needs before you for this local body. And we're in expectation, Lord, by your stripes we are healed. So we're in expectation, Lord, that as we remember these things and bring them before you, Lord, we're in expectation that these things are going to take place here in the body. So we love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Jesus, 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 there's just something about